Ladies and gentlemen, if you're interested in video games from the Far East, let me introduce to you the number one gaijin, the man from Japan who can...
I said we should have some monkey noises in there.
We can add it in, yeah, we'll build it up like a tapestry of hellish world music. Oh. Hello, everybody!
Hello! Welcome to the Doofus.net podcast for...
Don't be too perky. You know, this is a very grey, depressing time for all of us in the video game community, isn't it?
I thought we'd get to that in a bit, until then keep it a bit...
No, we'll all be tiptoeing around it.
Yeah, that's true.
This is a wake, isn't it?
It is kind of a wake. It is a pretty sad week. Obviously not for me especially, but it kind of... When you consider the reasons I essentially started Doofus and thought that there was a space in the world for the kind of commentary that I'm putting on the site.
The people who made this possible, the people who made us believe that you could just sit and talk at your laptop and somehow that would be good...
and
other people might be interested, and that we might get some satisfaction out of that. They're now all dead. That's what I've heard. Is that true? They dead?
They died in
a horrible train wreck.
Slight over exaggeration. Yeah, the one up guys.
It's all gone. I'm really sad about it.
It is all gone. I'm pretty sad about it. More than 2/3 of the staff were cut. That mostly the EGM and game, the 1UP FM, not the 1UP FM, they were also cut. The 1UP show staff let go by the site's new owners. Hugo,
fuck yourself.
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
No,
Hugo
are a web company that, from what I gather, I haven't actually been to their site, but apparently when you log on, it's basically a flurry of boobies and kind of general kind of young male adult kind of...
Oh, it's the nuts and zoo crowd for those in the UK. What is it, tits with PDAs?
This is complete conjecture. This is just what I heard about it when it was discussed on Joystick Podcast last month when they were talking about the possibility, when they were talking about Hugo being interested. But, when they actually came in there, basically it looks like Hugo looked at their kind of profit and loss statements, and they saw that the 1UP show and game videos loses money, and EGM, the magazine that Ziff Davis, the old owners of 1UP, put out, is losing money. And they said, well, let's just cut them and all the staff that are linked to them, which just happened to be 2/3 of the editorial and kind of... For gaming people, the kind of high-profile individuals.
Exactly, yeah. Line up our heroes and shoot them in the back of the fucking heads, you wankers.
All with the exception, it seems, of the really big names of Jeremy Parrish, Scott Sharkey, and Garnet Lee.
Yeah, Garnet Lee remains. Shane Bettenhausen, ousted. Just as I was warming to him.
Yeah, he takes some time to warm up to. It's a real shame that he's now...
I love the old blighter name. Didn't like him to begin with at all. And then I think there was one episode where they were talking about a particular show they went to, and all the people who met Shane Bettenhausen and all the comments that they passed his way. And I just remember him saying, a lot of hate out there. And from that moment, I turned around. It started with pity and it turned into love. So I'm very sad to see Shane go. But we wish you all the very best. We don't make any money out of this, do we, Alex?
Not at all. Although, if you go to the, what was it? The Play Asia thing that's linked on the site, then I get really small commission if you buy a game from them, which is just so I can
get
games to review.
Yeah, well, surely I should get some of this.
I get like...
Have you ever got any commission?
I've got a total of $4 from one purchase.
That's $2. $2 for me.
Except we need to have at least $5 before we can even use it to buy another game.
Still, bear it in mind, eh? Although I don't write any articles on the site, so $1. I'll have $1. You owe me $1. Anyway, okay. Welcome to Dookverse.
You can buy your PlayStation 3 with that.
Excuse yeah, me. It is
I'm
that
just going to cough. You keep talking, Darren.
Yeah. Well, $1 now, with the current financial crisis, that would probably be around £300 in the UK, which is what it costs to buy a PlayStation. So I'll do that. Yeah.
I'll ship you £300 thinking it's a dollar and we'll be set.
We'll be in there. But Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to 2009. I hope it's fruitful, fruity, and laced with boobs and cakes for everybody.
Yes. Yes. Mostly cakes.
Lovely cakes.
God, that was an unintentional Portal reference. Sorry.
Lovely cakes?
Everybody likes cakes.
Oh, okay.
The motivation in Portal was the cake.
Oh, you big nerd. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, you do. You completed Portal when you were here, didn't you?
Yeah, I think I was just basically yelping with joy when I was playing it and not really listening. But, yeah.
Fair enough.
I was really enjoying myself.
But, yeah, it's New Year. Happy New Year.
Yeah, happy 2009. Have you got any resolutions? Because you asked me last time. Don't call, apart from world domination, what your personal goals were for the year.
Just printed in a magazine.
Abs? What, like, on Men's Health, sort of lifting up your rib t-shirt to reveal your abs in black and white?
That would be a great disappointment to everybody, it being the one part of my body that's just a flabby mess.
You could just draw doofus.net in biro on it.
It is this weird kind of... I'm always a little bit embarrassed about my abs, not because they're a little bit flabby, which is fine, but because I've got...
Abs?
I've got my huge kind of pectoral chest, and I always assume people think that my abs are going to be equally kind of big and impressive, but they're not. They're just fat.
So, would you say they're flabdominals?
Yeah, flabdominals. I just panicked for a second there.
That's the end. Goodbye, everybody. No,
this wasn't recording. What record start time is last week, according to this. It's fine. It's
yeah.
Fine.
Well, it's a different pace. I'd say we're in fourth or fifth gear now compared to last. The Christmas was just first gear, possibly just neutral. But I hope you enjoyed our relaxed Christmas kind of like chatter. And now we're here with some belting new news with a new start. Because probably people are probably looking around for new podcasts to listen to now. One Up has died in that horrible train wreck.
You should stop putting it down quite this much. There's still like one third of the staff there. And we should see how they do.
Yeah, but people should listen to us. I mean, we don't have any of the facts. But we do have...
The passion.
Yes. And you have a dog that sometimes poos on air.
Yes. And I did want to put... I got an email last week.
Blue Peter.
I got an email last week from somebody saying that I can't believe your dog poos in your house. And I should...
You have a little mat. You have a poo mat. I've seen it.
The dog does poo on the mat, on the toilet, if you will.
You all do as well. It's just, you know, it's not just the dog. And then you use it for your plants. You have beautiful herbs, very tasty herbs.
What we do in Japan, actually. Nobody has toilets here. They just all poo on the sheets.
In your house?
In my house.
You just happen to rent the house with the sheet in that everybody poos in.
It smells awful, but the parsley grows like wild.
Everyone's very nice there, but the poo, the stench, I could barely sleep.
Yes, yes. It piles up pretty quick.
Yeah. Oh, dear.
Okay. We'll come back to the one-up thing in news. Just talk about that a little bit. But today, one of the reasons we're in a higher gear is... Well, two of the reasons we're in a higher gear is, one, because I actually planned and I have, like, a list of things you have to talk about today.
Which two, being you're up in the morning in Japan.
Yes.
If you're just joining us, Alex lives in Japan. I'm in the UK. Normally, I'm having my lunch. Alex is in the evening.
Yes.
This
is actually a little quiet. Not today.
Yep. Now it's midnight. It's just gone midnight. I've got a pear cider here, which is left over in the fridge from the onslaught of Christmas poos. There's still loads in there. Can't post it. And you have just got up.
Yay! It's 9 in the morning.
Yay!
I'm
coffee's
just about
kicked
firing.
In.
Yeah, 1 hour later, I'm just about awake.
Yeah, so we're ready to dissect video games, show you what's what. You know, like a surgeon sewing a junior surgeon, you know, all the different parts. That's what we're going to be to you.
So, that brings us to the other exciting point today, Darren.
Ooh,
moving into the content, and that is that when I ask you what you've been playing, you've actually got something contemporary that you've been playing.
Oh my God, yes.
I say contemporary, yeah. I mean within the last 3 years.
Well, if you've listened to this before, if you've listened to this before, I don't really have any consoles or games. But
just,
you may wonder what I'm here.
Just the passion.
Yeah, I just walked in. But I've got a Wii. Yep. And I've got a Wii. And, shall I get on with this, what have I been playing?
Yes.
What have I been playing? I've been playing everything. Okay, so I've got Christmas Present was Yakuza 2 on the PlayStation.
Yeah, that's not on the Wii.
No, but we do have a PlayStation 2 as well. Yes, we've got all that as well. It doesn't belong to me, it's my girlfriend's. But I've got Yakuza 2. It's amazing. I've been playing a lot of Wii Sports, obviously, because I've got a Wii. And Mario Galaxy and Paper Mario and all of that. Brilliant. And lots of old Mega Drive games. And I've been playing so many different games. It's been incredible.
So, assumedly, with the kind of knowing the sales numbers for the world on the Wii, there will be people out there who have just got a Wii and are maybe looking for games that aren't just party games. So,
yeah.
Of all these games that you've been playing, which ones do you think would be good for these newly induced to the world of Wii individuals?
Newly induced to the world of Wii. Well, it's got to be Galaxy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, I was quite cynical. I'd basically, having wanted a Wii for over a year, and
I'd have just gone to the toilet by now.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, it's good to hold it in.
I'm still not bored of the Wii.
It feels better. Yeah. You know that feeling, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so I'd held it in for so long, but I'd actually started to hate the Wii. And by the time I actually had the Wii, I just wasn't sure about it. I didn't know, you know, what it was going to be, what kind of colour it would be. But yeah, basically, cut a long story short, I love it. And Nintendo, they've redeemed themselves, and it's all right. Because Mario Galaxy is just art.
Yes. Well, it does come down to something rather interesting, because you especially, on podcasts, I think, before we even started putting it on iTunes. So you can go and check out doofus.net if you want to download
that. Yeah, there's a whole archive of stuff there.
They're not as good as these, but they're
there. No, they're not very good, are they?
But we had a couple of episodes where we basically just bitched about Wii parties.
Oh, yes, we did.
Because we just didn't... We weren't down with the kind of... I mean, maybe it's because we're at an age.
Are you referring to the middle classness of all of this?
Not just that. I'm particularly bitter because I think I've had two times that I've had more than three people in the house willing to play Wii. The rest of the time, I'm just playing it solo. So party games do not appeal to me at all. I gave up investing like £20 or so in a game that I've played twice.
Yes, yeah, exactly, yeah, dependent on people being there. Yeah, we did, we laid into it, you held it, and I punched it straight in the colon.
Yeah, we weren't enjoying those games, that your experiences there. So this has changed you, is what I'm kind of going for.
This has changed me, yeah, and I've got Mario Kart as well, I forgot to say that. And we've got the wheel, which is still in the box under the bed, as is everybody's.
People
are going to find new uses for those. I think we should possibly invite people to say what you could do with the Nintendo Wii wheel that isn't, you know, because people aren't going to use it for that. You could maybe use it as, you know, one of those things you put food on and spin it around in a Chinese restaurant. Lazy Susan, is that it?
That maybe that.
Lazy Susans, yeah. Lazy Wii Susans. Yes, so you put your condiments on them and you spin them around. You put your condiments on.
Okay.
It's the Carry On podcast. Yeah. So I've changed. I'm sorry, Nintendo. And actually, I don't mind you haven't put out that many games.
No.
They must take a lot to make. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry.
When they're that good. Really, Mario Galaxy is far and above everything else on the system.
Yes. It's unbelievable. Mario Kart's okay. It's not as good as the DS one.
People. It helps when you've got people. And the DS one is a lot better.
Yeah, it's a party game. It's very much so. Yeah. I'm going to save talking about Yakuza 2 because I believe we're going to talk about something else later, which I think it would be applicable to. Is that right?
I don't know what you're talking about, but maybe. Oh, yes. Yes, we will be going to Games of the Year later.
Yeah, that's amazing. What have you been playing, Alex?
I wanted to ask you one more question, something you talked about.
I need to make a What Have You Been Playing jingle.
Yes, you do. I was going to suggest that after the podcast. Nice. Hoping we could do that without staying on air, but there we go.
Maybe it'll appear right now. Maybe. Yeah, anyway. Okay, what are you going to ask?
I was going to ask you how you were finding Super Paper Mario.
Oh, no, I've only spectators. My girlfriend's played this.
Okay.
Well, but I have everything to offer.
Same experience you're watching.
Well, exactly. What's with all the chatter? Lots of chatter. Mm. Lots of kind of... You know what I mean? Yeah. Kind of funny little wobbly people speaking with speech bubbles. Yeah. Sort of strangely translated jokes about farting. And it's just not very Nintendo-y.
No.
It's weird. I like it.
You do? How much have you played?
None.
No, not. I mean, how much have you watched be played?
Oh, levels and levels. Yeah, lots. Lots of talking and a little bit of gameplay.
How many hours would you say you've pumped in?
Oh, maybe two or three.
Oh, okay.
I was looking at the time.
You're about 10% of the way through that speech and game.
Oh, so it doesn't sort of, you know, doesn't abate.
No.
I mean, it's not just at the start. It carries on to the...
Because every time you go to a different world, you have new conversations and new things to happen.
Who cares? It's just a puzzle game. I don't know. Yeah, too much talking.
I must admit, I was put off because being out in Japan, as we often bring up, I didn't really...
Oh my God, you didn't understand any of it. That must have been awful.
No, I got the American one, but every time I saw it, when they advertise it, they very cunningly made it look like a really pretty 2D platformer.
Yes. It's
and
not.
Then I got it, and I was like, "What's going on? There's all this stuff I've got to read."
Yeah, well, the game in all of our heads should be made, but it wasn't that. It wasn't that game. It wasn't Mario. It should have just been Mario with the 2D and 3D bits.
Maybe switch into that kind of 3D plane to do some kind of plane running.
But exactly, the bit where you run across the hill. Mm. You know the bit at the start.
Yeah.
That kind of floored everybody. And when I saw it, I was just like, "Oh, this is genius. This is." Oh, God, yeah, you know, chopping my trousers and rubbing my hairy thighs with delight. And it never quite lived up to that moment.
No, it didn't. It was unfortunate, really. I mean, it's got some... There are some... You're going to get to, like, there's two really fun levels in it.
Okay.
But other than that, by about hour 15, you're just like, oh, I must be near the end now. And then you hit hour 20, and you're like, oh, well, that must be the last level. And you keep going, and you're just like, oh, God, please end.
Yeah.
On
a technical level, with the Wii,
yeah.
What does the little bar do? You know, you put the bar on your TV, or a new TV. What does it do? No one seems to have given me a satisfactory answer to this.
It sends out two infrared signals that the Wii remote picks up, that gives it positional data when you're aiming at the screen.
Infrared? Is it infrared?
I believe so. If you set up two candles either side of your TV...
Yeah.
You actually get more accurate reception because you have a wider base for it, and the Wii remote can detect the candles.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's me satisfied then.
But it's basically for the infrared pointer, which is why it's not 100% accurate. Like, you remember the old light guns?
Yes, I do. You mean Duck Hunt?
No. Even more recently.
The Menacer?
But it's where thank you. Gun games aren't amazing on Wii. That's what I was building to. Because they should be, shouldn't they? You should aim
be.
And point and fire. But if you aim down the barrel of your Wii remote, you'll find yourself missing.
Exactly, yeah, exactly, yes. And there's Wii Play, which came with our extra controller, which is really good.
You realise you're part of the problem there, right?
Yeah.
Wii Play, a game that's been on the charts since the Wii was released. But it's essentially... balls.
That's not fair, though, is it? I mean, that's like, you know, giving away a CD with a magazine and saying that it's the best-selling. Mm. It's number one. Yeah, but it is very good. There's a tank game on that where you can... I like the tank game, yeah.
I like the shooting game because it reminded me of, like, some of the really easy levels in Point Blank. The pool.
Oh, yes, the shooting game is fantastic when all of the Miis run around in the grass. That made me laugh.
That was good.
Yep, that's very good.
And
yes.
Pool was the other one I liked up there.
Ooh, I'm glad that will do. The air hockey style game is brain meltingly difficult.
Isn't it? What about the table tennis?
Yes, also that as well. I also have an experiment for anyone who's recently bought a Wii. You'll be able to do this at home. It's a party game. Drink most of the drink in the house, then get everyone to watch you, play Wii Tennis, and as you're selecting your characters, pick you as every single person and try and play yourself split screen. And it's hard, and it's it makes a part of your brain hurt that maybe you didn't have never felt before.
Is this using two Wii remotes?
No, you use one Wii remote. You're everyone. No, you can do this.
But you could do it with one in each hand, like your left hand versus your right hand.
Well, that's a very good idea as well. Well, it'd be backhand, forehand. That might make more sense, in fact, really? Than having to do it. So the idea of switching between, because it will split the screen in half, and it you will not know what to do. It made me want to cry. It's a good way to torture people, sort of prisoners of war, that kind of thing. Just try and get them to do that.
They're introducing it at Guantanamo, if I could say that. That
Guantanamo way. Bay. Guantanamo yes, Bay. Guantanamo Wii.
Guantanamo Wii.
Guantanamo Wii.
Ooh.
There's a game in that. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, what have I been playing, you asked, 15 minutes ago? this is meant to be a more on-topic podcast. What have I been playing? Well, as you for my Christmas present, Mickey finally got round to buying me my anniversary present, which was the PlayStation 3, which caused
another PlayStation 3.
Ended
it's
up
white.
An argument because she didn't want to buy it for me. She hates games.
Well, you know, she said she caved in. She said she admitted that you're not going to stop doing this.
Yeah, she had until it came to spending 200 quid in Japan.
It's like a parent buying their child. You know, heroin, just so they know they get it from a good source.
The child paid for half of it, which I thought would soften the blow, but even then, no.
No, still not good.
Yeah. But yeah.
Still arched eyebrows.
I got that. And I got Little Big Planet.
Oh.
Which I love.
Is it good? Is it everything you'd hoped it to be? Have you designed levels? Have you designed Mario 1-1?
I've tried designing levels a little bit. I got a little bit kind of... I will get back to it, but I was just in a bit more kind of... Usually when I get around to playing games, it's pretty late at night, and I don't want to sit there trying to measure everything out and get it all right. But I will get around to doing that more seriously soon. But the game itself is just a lot of fun and charming and lovely. And while not the best platformer ever, I enjoyed it immensely.
Come on then, approach the first player thing. Let's deal with this. Okay. One player, is it any good?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, it's not as good as Mario Galaxy, but then what platformer is?
No, I mean, that's just perfection. But yeah.
It's a kind of slightly puzzly, physics-y platformer that makes you think a little bit about some things, and it all seems very balanced and fair, and it's pretty, and the music is great, and it's got a nice... I mean, it sounds really weird, but it's got a British sense of humour.
Yes, like seems like that.
And it sits really well, just that kind of styling. Being out in Japan, it reminds me of home, and I get a little bit homesick playing it, so I like it for that.
Aww.
It's like watching Shaun of the Dead when you're in Japan. And however you feel about the movie, I don't know how you do feel about the movie.
I love that movie.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. But I was watching it, I was just like, I know sweet streets like that. That's like being at home. And just that kind of overarching style humour makes me warm to things very quickly. Maybe even more so being out here and away from it. But it's that certainly plays a factor. I enjoyed it, basically.
Excellent. It's good to know that, I think video games is one of those mediums where the British sense of humour seems to have its own particular niche. And I think a British sense of humour and video games are a very good mix.
Is that for us, though, because we're British? I mean, I wonder if we're just...
I don't know. Whenever I see a British sense of humour in films, I tend to get a bit embarrassed. But I'm very proud of our Monty Python-esque video game humour.
That's true. Maybe that's where the next Pythons are going to come from.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just the Codys and Bullfrog and people like that. It just has that kind of...
When you say Codys, do you mean Codemasters?
Do you mean Codemasters?
Okay,
yeah.
Just for people who
like them. Yeah, all of that kind of in-game humour that is just kind of completely nerdy. And Douglas Adams seems to fit.
Yes, he does. And going into that, of course, the two very good games this year. Fable and Little Big Planet both have Stephen Fry in it talking about British humour in games.
And they do.
He's a lovely man, wonderful, wonderful.
He's a lovely man. He's on lots of video. He's on lots of advert voiceovers at the moment in the UK as well. Yeah. He's doing very well for himself.
Right, well, he seems to pick very good games to be on as well. I don't know if it was just luck that.
I think he's a big nerd. Good. You can follow his Twitter, and it becomes apparent that he's a fantastic big nerd. I've heard he's got 7 iPhones. I don't know why, but that can only be a good thing.
Filled them with games, all of them.
That's what I'm hoping, yeah, and just toss them aside like some sort of rich bastard.
He doesn't have to delete. Maybe he's one of those nerds that only knows some elements, like he doesn't have to delete and do other things, so every time it's full, he thinks
he's... Throws it in his bin and rubs his truffly hands all over his designer suit.
Maybe he doesn't understand rechargeable. Maybe he still. Yeah. Maybe he couldn't find somewhere for the batteries, thought that it was a one-use thing. He's got enough money, he assumed everybody in the world does. Run down.
Well, the sexy kind of theatre of getting new Apple products. Whoa. You know, that could be like a modern addiction, couldn't it?
It's true.
Yeah, just sliding out of the package and, you know, pulling off those little strips they have on all the shiny screen and thing like that. You'd like that, Alex. You like stuff like that, don't you?
I will do. I will buy one this year, hopefully. I need a new computer.
It will slip out of your hands when you're in bathrooms and you'll get very worried.
What, my computer?
They're very slippery.
What am I doing? Okay. Careful of that.
Honestly, they're slippery. I've nearly dropped it in pints quite a lot. It can easily fall out of your hand because it's just so glossy. It's like a big bar of soap.
My hands are quite sweaty. Things tend to stick to them when I'm...
Stick to them. Yeah, that might be good. Okay. I think you'll be all right. You've got quite big hands as well.
Yeah, that'll help.
Yeah, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. Yeah. I like to see you try and do something intricate on the iPhone. I think that'll make me laugh because you've got quite big hands.
Talking of the iPhone, since we've got new games, have you downloaded SimCities for it?
I have relented on the SimCity. I looked at it quite a lot and I was very tempted. I've been playing Rolando still, and a free shooter, which is flawed but fun, called Space. It might as well be. It's got a much better name than that. You should check it out, everybody. It's called Space colon, not know the word.
Space colon.
No, could you believe it's even better than that? It's called Space Dead Beef.
No, Space Colon was better. But Space Colon.
Yeah, no, you're right. Space Colon, yeah. Space Colon. Namco Space Colon has been re-released. It's good. It's flawed because of the controls, but it's very fun.
I think that's going to be a recurring theme for iPhone games, isn't it?
Yeah, when you try and port in what is basically controller-based games onto the iPhone, it's just not going to work.
Put it in the way you want to see. Never a good player.
Yeah, exactly. Put your finger where you want to fire. Oh, no, that doesn't work. Yeah, basically, not good.
Which, moving on, brings us nicely into the fact that I've also been abusing the download service on PlayStation 3. PlayStation Network, because I have money on my credit card in England. And I logged on to the British store, even though I'm in Japan. And I've been downloading games...
Did you have a little trolley dash?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I got Pixel Junk Eden, which is one of my Pixel Junk games, which is a lot of fun. A little bit irritating at first. Some of the controls I would have done differently, but having played it for a long time, I see why they did it, which is you kind of fire out a web, a bit like Spider-Man. When you start
a bit
playing,
like Spider-Man, that's quite a lot like Spider-Man.
Well, except as you jump off the platform, it remains attached more like a bungee cord as opposed to firing a web.
Oh, I see. Okay. That's all right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And I only call it a web because they call it a web. And you're like a little insect.
Stand corrected.
And when I started playing it, I was like, okay, so I fire my web, I'll hold the button down, and then I'll let go when I want to let go. And that's not what it does. What it does is as you jump off, it fires the web. And if you hold the button down, you're still using the web. And if you let go, you're still using the web, and you have to press the button again to launch yourself off. So essentially, you can just tap to jump, and the web's there, and then you tap again to let go.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, it is, and I see exactly why they did it, because your finger gets very tired holding it down. Because I was still doing that for a while to get over my own mental block. I was like, okay, I'll hold it down, and then I'll let go, and I'll double tap to...
But traditional action platformers, you'd assume that that's what you do.
Yeah, once you get used to it, it's fine. At first, a little bit of a headache. little bit of a head.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Even though it makes more sense. Yeah, there's these kind of preconceptions about controllers with stuff like that where it's just weird. It's the up to jump instead of a button type weirdness.
It's something that I think people should, you know... I don't mind people experimenting with new controls. I think it's good. I think it's the only way you progress, like everything else. But keep trying. But at the same time, when you're put into a game and it really doesn't work for whatever reason, for you, can be very personal, can be irritating.
Yes. Yeah. I tried to play GoldenEye. Not GoldenEye. No. It was a Bond sort of GoldenEye shooter. It was the PlayStation 2 one, and it was not a film. Nightfire.
Oh, okay. I want to say Timothy Dalton. I mean Pierce Brosnan. That was a Pierce Brosnan licensed. Is it him in there?
Yeah, he's in there in a kind of sort of painted on an egg type face way. I'd left the first person shooter at Quake, and then suddenly I was playing with two analog sticks. Yeah, and I didn't know what was going on. But I got the hang of it. It did make my head hurt, but I'm glad I persevered.
I'm not a big fan of the PlayStation 3 controller for first-person shooters, but we'll get to that. It's a bit small for my big hands. It's a bit small for my big hands, really. That's all it is. I personally would prefer the first analog stick where the digital pad is and flip them around like Xbox did for positioning purposes, but there we go.
So you say we're not going to get onto that now. What are we going to get onto now, Alex?
Oh, no, just a few more games that I downloaded... Very quickly. Just a couple of full games. Good old Wipeout HD. Love the Wipeouts. Good to see it. So crisp and clear and huge. And pleasantly surprised by the music, which... I never played Wipeout Fusion. I played... After the first Wipeout, I thought the music took a distinct downward turn.
Yeah, they set high standards with that first one.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a defining... just to dwell on the first Wipeout, that was a defining thing for a lot of people. A lot of people became graphic designers because of that I know, and because of the Designers Republic influence, and a lot of people got into the music because of that game. I think it was a big crossroads culturally for a lot of people, and underrated as so, but I don't think anything could match up to that. How is it this time? How is it faring? What does it look like, and what's on the soundtrack?
They kind of have dropped the Designers Republic. I think they did a while ago, actually. They went to a bit more kind of white, grey on white kind of aesthetic.
Yeah, a little bit Mirror's Edge.
Yeah, they've still got the kind of cute... They've still got that kind of Japanese overtone to it, but it's a little bit more... It's a little bit less of the kind of kanji and font effect.
Yeah,
the kind of characters and
it dates it quite a lot to do that now, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So they've dropped that. They've shifted a little bit there. But the music... It's not as good as the first one, because obviously you had, who was on there? They had Orbital and Chemical Brothers. And
Prodigy.
Yeah, they had some of top
Protec, I remember.
Yeah. But they've brought it back with this one to a very similar vibe, and they're people I don't know, whether that's because they're not as big as those names, or just because I'm not in England, so I don't hear as much kind of techno and dance stuff. But it was... Some of it's really good. I'm kind of listening. I'm sat there going, yeah, I want to listen to this music, which is not something you often say about dance music. Usually it's, I wouldn't mind dancing to this, or I like the beat, but it's actually really good and goes with the game really well. So I think they're really good.
Has it got that Lamar one in it? You know, the if there's any justice in the world.
No, there's no...
I would be your man.
There is no...
You would be my girl.
Nothing you can hear.
Lamar. Okay.
Good solid beats, which is fantastic for the game.
No, well, you can play your own Lamar over it if you want.
Yes, you can. You can import tracks. I'm going to get the original Wipeout track downloaded on there as well.
I'm going to put Lamar on when I do Kerrang.
And the only other thing that I downloaded, it was a game called Siren, which is a kind of horror game, which is looking really good, but haven't really played enough of it.
Okay. Did you go back to Dead Space in the end?
Yeah, a little bit more on the harder difficulty with the headphones on, but still too scary at night by myself in a room.
Yeah, prime gaming time, not good.
Yeah. I've said, for a long time, have been playing games while listening to podcasts and doing other things, audially, or hourly. Yes.
Audioly. I like audioly. That's better.
Hourly, I think.
Early also Early. Works.
Yeah, well, I've been eerly doing other things while playing games recently. But I got these surround sound headphones, so I thought I should use them. And horror games do step it up and
well, not have to
surround.
You'd have to move over to the mat and do a poo. You could sit on, you could play on the mat.
That would be good.
Yeah, with a dog. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's too scary then. But
yes, so moving on. News!
News!
Broadcasting on Skype.
Okay, everybody, calm down, staring at five.
Come on, people, don't worry me!
The state of the Japanese gaming scene.
Virtual console.
PlayStation 3.
And the Nintendo DS.
We had the Xbox before.
Nintendo Wii.
Buttocks.
Mom, I'm scared.
News.
I suppose we should go back to it, because it's pretty big news, the 1UP Network.
1UP's dead!
1UP,
oh no!
I've got to stop saying that. 1UP has lost a lot of its key figures, who we love, and we're very sorry to see them out of a job, really, more than anything, because unemployment is pretty much pandemic at the moment. So 1UP taken over by YouGov.
I'm sad. It's, you know, people talking about video gaming being recession-proof. I kind of felt like 1UP was a big, happy community that I belonged to. It was like a warm Star Trek feeling. It was a real nerd, hit my nerd spot.
It was linked to one of the biggest two, three, I don't know how many they've got in America, magazines, which I think
ECM.
Were kind of bulletproof.
Yes.
In a way. I thought that was its kind of safety net, its money earner, but apparently it was one of the things that was losing money.
Exactly, yeah. Going for ages since...
This month would have been its 20th birthday. So this
yes, of course.
Is going to be its 20th year issue. So it would have been February 1988 it started.
1988? God. I think it was, or 89, I think I might have read. But dead at 19. That's like James Dean.
Well, dead 1 week before 20.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't know if James Dean died when he's 19, but yeah, it's a tragedy, and those responsible should be hunted down, and I want to begin the lynch squad.
Well, I think, arguably, people responsible have saved it in some ways financially. They've bought it out, they've ensured viability for its future, but to get the return on their investment...
Yes, they've had to.
We said this before. They cut EGM and Game Videos, which were the loss sections of the company, the losing money sections of the company.
Yeah. And before we went on air to record this, we were talking about the Jeff Green article on his blog. Go on there and read it. It's a fantastic article, and it's, it made my bottom lip quiver. It was really well written, and it was clearly written in the heat of everything that's going on. It's really honest, and it's a good read.
It is very well written, and one of the things he goes on about is one of the remaining head people there, whose name slips my mind if you've got it in front of you, Darren.
I'll look it up right now.
Basically, one of the head people put out a statement saying, in a very bad situation for him, because obviously he's just lost a lot of his colleagues, and who I'm sure he got on well with, basically really saying something saying, nothing will change, everything will remain the same, we're still going to be releasing the same content. And Jeff... basically turned around and said...
That's not true.
That's impossible. And I mean, we understand why you're saying this. You want to keep the people... You want to reassure people. But at the same time, you've lost two-thirds of your staff who made a lot of the content, and they've dropped a lot of their copy staff because when they cut the magazine, they cut a lot of the editors.
So and especially referring to people's love of the podcast as well. I mean, it was about the personalities and... As he rightly said, the personalities make this editorial team work. Their hard work, their commitment and their passion and their personalities are what people tune in and read for. Mm. And that's what's been lost, and that's why it can't be replaced. And, yeah, it's a very honest article. So, Alex, can you help us locate and find the remaining shrapnel of 1UP?
Yes.
Where have they gone?
A lot of them have... started a kind of podcast, a podcast, not a kind of podcast, which is...
They did actually want to be part of Doofus, but we actually said no, didn't we?
we're happy with our tiny little group with absolutely no knowledge, and we thought that you guys coming in with your wealth of knowledge and understanding of the industry would ruin that.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, what would we do?
Yes, we'd be showing up for the frauds we are if you came on. So so they went, and they went to, I think it was Chuff Money, Anthony Gallegos' blog, which is eat.sleep.game, I think, .com. I'm going to bring that up, make sure, absolutely sure that I've got that right.
Let's double check. We've never linked on the podcast before. We're getting extra.
It's on the site. I have linked to it on the site. And they've got some posts. And basically, this week, it was the entire 1UP FM cast. So Nick Suttner, Philip Kohler, Anthony Gallegos, Matt Chandranay, and some of the other people. They'd basically all just gone to one of their apartments and put together a podcast. And they're going to keep doing that. And maybe
it's
next
like broadcasting
week...
during the war.
Yep, maybe next week they're going to have Shane Bettenhausen and... who was the guy who did the podcasts? Skip.
Call
him Skip. Anthony Skip Fit... Anthony Fit... Something
Fister?
Like Fister, there we go. Thank you.
How could you forget that name? He's called Tony Fister.
That's true.
It's like a Grand Theft Auto character.
So that looks like a place where you'll be able to still go and see them. But the other thing is, they've been let go of staff because they were all on contract. But it does sound like many of them will be coming back freelance work for 1UP. It's not any bad blood. It's all completely financial, nothing personal. You've got a feel for them losing that kind of job security in the current climate. But they all have got their severance pay, and they've all got the opportunity.
They're the best. They're going to do well, and we wish them well. We really do. If there's anything we can do to help, if you'd like a cider, I'm drinking some cider right now, or if you'd just like to come around and do a crap in Alex's house, all of these things are possible. We're here for you.
I think we've done as much as we could. We've told them.
Yeah, we love you.
Dig their new podcast so they can maybe monetize that for themselves. And all of them are now on Twitter. So if you want to catch up with them and you can't find them through the other methods we've already listed, if you subscribe to my Twitter, then I have them all linked on my Twitter and you can subscribe through that.
But yeah, Doofus. Twitter/Doofus. Go and find him.
Yeah, and then
find that man.
Link to most of them on there. But I think the biggest shock of it all was the fact they let Shane Bettenhausen go. I mean, he's like one of the biggest.
I know, he was a Don, wasn't he?
Yeah, so
he's like an angry hockey player.
Exactly. He's maybe the biggest of the people that have disappeared from the group. So
he may be onto better things. We can only hope.
We can only hope. I'm sure they will all land on their feet. When you look at things like the Giant Bomb website, they all went and they started their own thing, and they're all doing very well, and with their connections, they could get that working. And it's, I can only hope that these guys at least achieve, manage something like that, or at least get picked up very quickly by other people. So, yes.
I salute you guys. I salute you, 1UP. You've given me hours of, especially Retronauts, some happy times.
Yes, I reckon.
I feel like we should play some music now or something and salute, and maybe fire guns.
Okay.
And then maybe do some, you know, that kind of slapping back thing that men do when they hug?
Yes, yes.
And they
yes.
sort of punch each other in the back.
It's okay, man. And
yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
We're going to do that. Oh, God.
The dog just wondered why.
What's next on the news?
To get a kind of sound effect. I was actually going to tie that very quickly into print media, kind of slowly dying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Which is a bit sad. I mean, you probably know more about this than me. But there are some models, some business models that are going to be able to keep going, which is good.
Magazines, probably not so much one of them.
Some of them will. Like, Edge has a very interesting subscription model. And very interesting method of very low immediate content.
Yes.
Like, does that make sense? Like, they're not trying to keep up with news, they're not doing reviews, they're doing a lot of articles and industry kind of as opposed
it's broader, to... It's about the quality of the writing more than the getting to the news first. And it's always been like that with Edge. And they're reporting in a way that other magazines don't tend to report. It's an individual editorial style. And that's what will survive. But again, it has to be broad. I think Edge is very broad. They're kind of like the Q magazine of gaming, or the Time magazine of gaming even. And I think there's very broad, intelligent, well-produced magazines are going to survive, but the niche-y things, not so much. And it's kind of the niche-y things I really, really love. So, you know, resurgences in interest in websites and podcasts, it can only be a good thing.
It can only be a good thing to a point, but of course it's going to make it a lot harder for the kind of well-measured commentary that you get from people who have job security who are doing purely that.
You got to sift through the crap.
You get into a lot more enthusiast and just fan territory.
Wait a minute. What are we?
We are exactly that, except...
We're the latter.
We try not to be biased. We try and be measured.
I'm not biased. They couldn't buy me.
No.
I mean, I don't buy them. I don't have any consoles, so it's fine.
I mean, that was one of my reasons for getting the PlayStation 3. I mean, it sounds like a very big expense just to try and keep the blog well measured. But I want it to be as close to
Street Fighter 4 as possible.
So I picked that up, and obviously I wanted it as well. I'm not going to pretend like I didn't want a PlayStation 3. But it's going to be. It's very difficult to sift through it all and find content online on fan sites that you agree with. And that's what it comes down to. If you find a site that suits you, then stick with it, because they can be pretty hard to find.
Yeah, it's about an editorial fussiness. It's about getting things that are filtered and brilliant consistently. And that is the beauty of Edge in particular, and that's what will work print magazines consistently, is that very high standard of writing.
Edge has the advantage of being incredibly well connected and relying on a subscription model mostly.
And established from an age of gaming when there wasn't that problem with selling magazines and video games were becoming established. It's been there from the beginning.
Even then, I mean, they had they didn't rely so much on reviews and previews. They really did go with like design and industry articles and the business side of it, and the reviews and things were an afterthought of more was expected of a game magazine at the time. And I think probably in the near future you'll see them maybe even pulling that kind of the reviews to a halt. I think they may become even less review heavy.
Yeah, the reviews were never the main part of Edge, as you say. I mean, it was very interesting to know what Edge thought as this kind of sagely thing, but I was never that fussed about Edge's reviews. I never read it for that. I think the most interesting thing they did was previews.
They seemed to,
as you say, they kind of had good industry contacts. They saw games a lot before they were, you know, even in a stage where other magazines would preview them. So you got these really interesting slants about how people were building up gameplay aesthetics and control systems and things like that. And often you'd see things that never made the final game. For instance, they this year did an article on GTA on the DS, which never materialised at Christmas as was promised at TGS. And that was fantastic. And I kind of feel that when I actually see...
Not TGS, the one before E3.
E3, sorry. Yes, of course, never made TGS. And I kind of feel that when the game arrives, you know, it's going to be noticeably different from those shots I saw on Edge. And I kind of think that's why people read Edge. I don't think there's a place like that online. There's a niche.
And I mean, I think people want to be in Edge. I think a lot of developers are like, they're not going to be, they will be judgmental, but it will be at a point where we can do something about it. And I don't think many people who read Edge buy it to read a review and go, well, I'm not going to buy that game then.
No, it's an industry magazine as well, isn't it?
Occasionally it will sway people to buy a game if it's a very high review, but the majority of games come out really low, and I don't, people just don't look to Edge to tell them what to buy. They look to it to find out more about the industry.
It's more fashion and trends within the industry, you're right. Is there a video game industry magazine? Not for the shit munchers like us.
I mean, there are a lot of websites that are...
It certainly crosses that bridge between a consumer magazine and an industry magazine as well. So it gives you that insight. Which, going back to 1UP, because the podcasts and the journalists are so involved with people in the industry, you've got that nice mix of a gamer's view alongside with being friends with developers and programmers and people who work in the game industry and the whole kind of journalistic lifestyle of it. It bridged all those worlds, and I kind of think that's why they were so successful. It was very transparent.
Yeah, they were very good at that, and I think that's why losing so many of those people is going to negatively affect that. At the moment, it only sounds like, going back to 1UP, that only 1UP Yours will be the only podcast that continues.
I like 1UP Yours. It's like a drive time show.
Well, that was Garnet tweeted that about that, not kind of in a roundabout way. He seemed to suggest that 1UP Yours will be continuing, but I guess at severely reduced manpower and production quality because they lost all of the production staff for that.
They'll probably invite us on. I think we're going to be on the next 1UP Yours podcast.
Yeah.
With that soft rock introduction. Yeah, we could come in and talk about what we've been playing. We could make Garnet angry.
After that, I think we'd be out of our league with our inaccurate... Our inaccurate coverage of the industry. Is there a space for that in the market? Inaccurate coverage. So, I had one quick bit of, not news so much, but there's been a lot of talk recently about the next generation of consoles, especially with the economic kind of shifts, problems of maybe slowing down production. And people have been theorising when we'll see the announcements for the next round of console. It dawned on me the other week, and I don't know if this is the same in England, so you can enlighten me, but in Japan, there is an official shift to digital, which will occur in 2011. Now, bear with me, this is going somewhere.
Okay. Yes, you can tell. Okay, I don't know what's going on.
Now, it means, basically, old TVs are going to stop working directly.
Yes.
Is this happening in the UK?
Yes, it is. Okay. Old people are scared.
Okay. When that happens, there's going to be a need for everybody to have, or at least most people, to buy a new television with HD.
Yes.
Right. When that happens, I suspect, this is what I theorise this, that they're going to, that will be when they release them, when they know everybody's going to have HD, when they can start designing games solely in HD, get rid of the standard definition support, like stop making the graphics scalable and have a new baseline for everything. And when they can start operating on that assumption, I think is when we'll see the big stuff come out. And I just wonder if that can agree if that seems plausible, or if I'm just...
It does seem plausible. So what you're proposing is not huge steps forward in technology, but HD iterations of consoles that don't already have HD, so HDV.
But no, when we can make the assumption that everybody will be at that level, it's like with a computer, like when a new graphics card comes out, people be like, oh, so we can design for this graphics card. We can assume that.
Yeah, and you know, that decision forces, you know, helps people along as well. It will become that. It's 2012 here. It's happening here as well.
It's 2011 here, which is why I think you'll see, because the two of the biggest companies, obviously being Japanese, I think we'll see them being released at around the same time to complement the kind of big switch to digital. Okay, off news and kind of vague theories into the 2009 business. Well, by the time this goes up, my 4 console kind of picks will be up, which is Wii 360, PS3, and multi-platform.
They're all on there. Have a look. Brilliant reviews from Alex. Nice little kind of, you have to click to reveal the game. It's brilliant.
Before you read it.
So, exclusive podcast content.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
What one? You know where I'm going with this, right?
Yeah. Which one is my game of the year?
What is your game of the year? Because you picked Game of the Year per platform.
Yes. And
what is your game of the year, Alex? What is it?
I'm actually going to go with the multi-platform one, which was Dead Space, because I love it so.
Good choice. So. I'm pleased about that. I'm pleased for EA as well. They've shaken off what I thought was a little bit of a bad part of their image this year by doing that in Mirror's Edge.
They're going to go back to it, though, aren't they?
They're going to make sports games all year.
Yeah, because they lost money. But they have at least guaranteed another Dead Space, which I'm not happy about, and another Mirror's Edge, which I am happy about.
Are you... Oh, okay.
I'm with a camp that doesn't want to see another Dead Space. I think they got it. They ended it perfectly. That should be it. No more.
Is this one set, like, is it set in New York now, like a proper sequel should be?
Yes, probably. It starts
the bitch hits
in
New York.
In the New York library. Yeah. Come around a corner and tell one of those big necromorphs to be quiet.
And then and Will Smith's in it.
Yeah, and they'll come around.
And Will Ferrell's in it for 5 minutes and he's really good and that's the best bit.
Yeah, yeah, and if we're lucky, Bill Murray will come in there and he will.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ecto-1 and everything.
Yeah. Well, that sounds very good. Okay.
Suddenly, I want Dead Space 2. I want Dead Space 2. Forget my earlier comment.
Sure, it'd be good. I'm sure you like it.
Yeah, okay. I'm sold.
Okay, you have to do my jingle now for my game of the year.
And Darren's game of the year
is Yakuza 2!
Yay! I've told people before, so...
She feels... Yeah, this... Yeah, I know. I kind of feel this is quite a highbrow choice for me.
It is.
Yeah, it's a game.
Well, was it released last year? I've got to check.
Yes, okay. It was.
Wow.
Yeah, it had poor distribution channels.
It did, yes.
Which means people found it very difficult to get a hold of.
Did they do voiceovers in the end, or is it subtitled?
It's subtitled, which is fantastic.
It was dubbed by some pretty big names, I recall.
Oh, really?
What, fair names?
Well, I love the subtitling. I think it kind of makes it for me, because the performances are fantastic anyway.
They were they're very big Japanese actors. they're,
were they really?
Yeah, they're not lowbrow. I mean, unlike when you're looking at kind of like B-list or C-list American celebrities doing the voiceovers for the American one, the Japanese people were all big names.
Hey, that's fantastic. Well, I won't go on about it in a kind of nerdy, excited way. I could do. But I'll try and cram it all into a minute's chatter now. It's set in Osaka. It's perfectly set in Osaka. The environment is absolutely unbelievable. On Dotonbori Walk, which is, as you will know, Alex, main commercial drag there, all of the shops are perfectly rendered. It actually has the Sega arcade. There is a fighting game in the arcade, which is a first-person Tron-style lightsaber and catapult game, which is kind of hidden behind a pillar that you can play. You can go into a building, go onto the roof and play golf, just pointlessly, just to make money. And it's a very fluid, very fun fighting game. It sort of takes elements of kind of like a Tekken-y control and camera system, plugs it into Streets of Rage, in that kind of just fun, you can get away with button mashing. And just balancing that kind of beginner's luck skill with the fact that you can play it in a very considered manner and sort of choose your strikes, throws, special moves where you can throw people onto walls and smash them onto chairs, and you get amazing camera angles, cinematic sort of slowdowns and things like that. It's so good. The environments are fantastic. The story is fantastic. And it's split up into sort of three distinct fighting, adventure, and cutscene parts, which are perfectly balanced. I'm actually controlling the amount I play it, because I don't want it to end.
Wow. So you'll be wanting Yakuza 3, then?
Yeah, tell me about Yakuza 3.
I don't know much about Yakuza 3, only that it's set in Kyoto, Tokyo, and Osaka, the next one.
There's lots of Boss Coffee-style product placement as well, which is quite good. Burly Yakuza types drinking rainbow-coloured coffee out of a can.
Which is advertised by Tommy Lee Jones in Japan.
Yes, it is.
Darren's choice is much like my PS3 choice, which is based purely on what he's played this year, as opposed to best technical game of the year. Yep, but I'm certainly amazed by EA this year, so yeah. I'm happy that one of their games managed to rock in there as my number one.
Yeah, this was their good year. They're going to go evil next year. They need to make money.
Well, I mean, their only good year. It will be their only good year every other year.
It's going to be all Madden. Oh yeah.
Tripe peddlers, but not this year. Somehow this year they found some silk in their tripe and they sold it to me. What you?
That's anyway.
Yeah, thanks. I don't know what I mean.
It's silky tripe.
My brain isn't working. It's terrible.
Is it time for my new section? We've got a new section to the podcast.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'd forgotten that. Yeah, it's new section time.
Grandfather Darren, will you tell us about games in the olden days?
Sure, kids. Gather around. I'll tell you all about them.
It's time for Darren's old games now. They're old and so are you. You're old. You're going to die before you do. Listen to my old games thing.
Yes. Well, okay.
Did you like that jingle? You've not heard that before.
Yes, no, I do like that jingle. It's fine.
It's my old games pit.
Yes. What's your old
games? Yeah, well, I pick an old game and I talk about it for a little bit until I run out of things to say.
Okay. And for a change, this is where you are informed and I am not. And I can ask you questions about it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And the game I'm bringing up, Out of the Vault, is, relating to our talk of Bullfrog and Molyneux, mm-hmm. Syndicate.
Ooh, okay. Now,
yeah.
PC version or the PlayStation version?
Amiga version, actually.
Oh, okay, that'll do.
It was released on the Amiga, and then there was a slightly altered version that was released on the Mega Drive and SNES simultaneously.
Is that it? I seem to remember there being one on the PlayStation. Was that Syndicate Wars, maybe?
Syndicate Wars, yeah, which was released, I think, 3 years later on PlayStation, which was altered a bit further, and there was a sort of more of a kind of cutscene plotty nature to that. I've not played it. Mm-hmm. Did you play it, sir?
I think I did for a little bit, but really, having played the original with a mouse, moving to the pad just didn't sit well with me.
Yeah, I found that trouble playing on the consoles as well. But what a fine game, sir. What a fine game.
Do tell us.
For the uninitiated, it took a little dash of cyberpunk. It mixed it up with a little bit of isometric aesthetic. And you controlled four cyberpunk agents in stupid padded jackets, looking a little bit Blade Runner. Blade Runner was a big...
Borgs, right?
Men with robot willies and faces and things. And you controlled the
just
drugs.
Everything else.
Just robot willies. Syndicate Knights. you controlled the amount of drugs that went through their system, so you could apply adrenaline and all sorts of things to make them not feel pain, to run faster. And you had lots of massive guns. And basically you were put in this dystopia. And you were given lots of missions, usually to rescue somebody, to kill somebody, to blow something up. And what was most interesting about the game was the complete disregard for the public's life. It didn't really matter however many members of the public you killed. You could just... Exactly, yeah. Mainly, I ignored the game and just tried to destroy buildings because they made a fantastic crack noise when you shot them with a rocket launcher. The reason I picked this one in particular... It's because last month I read some news that the game is going to be, unlike all of Molyneux's franchises from that era, it's going to be resurrected into an online game.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That could be a mess.
It could be, couldn't it? If it goes all first person.
I had visions of it being like the original, but just controlling one person and just being in a city, but it would only be about 4 hours before the whole city was levelled. I mean, just...
Yeah, just burning buildings and just sort of rocket smoke everywhere. Yeah, you wouldn't know what was going on. Yeah, there's no indication about how that's going to work, but I really, really hope it kind of keeps a lot of the perspective and
isometric.
Pace of that game.
You want to
keep it
isometric?
Not necessarily isometric, but just the kind of the top-down camera would be good. I think it'd be a real shame to go first person on it, and I kind of feel like it might do that. Just think the scale of the destruction that you could see when you were... you know, wreaking havoc, and also you could control your agents separately, so you'd send one down an alley after a particular person, send another one round a building to head them off, and you could see the whole scene unfold before your eyes, I think that made the game. It wasn't a claustrophobic game. You had the advantage of being able to see the whole scene.
And there was that mind control gun, I remember, where you could, like, go in,
get the Persuader.
That's right.
Exactly, yeah.
To follow you. So you'd have a wall. You could then take them all into any kind of dangerous situation and use them as a kind of bullet shield.
Human shield, yeah. And of course, since the puppet didn't matter, you can just round them up. Doesn't matter. Yeah. And they're very helpful. Although the one criticism I had of the game, which is probably quite childish, is that the scenery wasn't more destructible. And, you know, this is all possible now. So this is why it needs to be remade. Because you kept shooting the buildings, you couldn't quite make them just completely collapse.
Yeah, that was limitations of the hardware, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was very good, but in any way, in any form you can find it, I beg you people, find it. This is Darren's Old Games, the first episode. Thank you very much.
Find it, play it, love it.
Yeah.
If it hasn't dated horribly, and we're just looking back on it with roasted it.
Yeah, if it's really jerky and shit, we're sorry.
Interesting choice.
Thank you.
I wouldn't have known.
Yeah, it's a real roulette wheel is what I'll pick. I decided 5 minutes before.
Okay, last thing for today. Somebody got one of the eggs before we move on to that. Somebody got one of the competition eggs. Dan,
yeah, what? Have you got two left? Have they got worms in them now? They've gone white?
Almost. We got two competition eggs left. Email me at doofus.net.
It's not a competition, Alex, if you're just giving them away to anyone who emails in.
Well, that's true. Kind of a competition.
What would you call it? It's a giveaway.
Giveaway. Two more giveaway eggs.
It's grooming.
It's a giveaway.
You're grooming people.
It's not hard.
Just enter the chat room with Alex, and he will appear as a young boy and offer you chocolates.
Isn't that the wrong way around? Oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. 2009. It's here. Is there any...
It's cold.
I'm not going to do a sum up of the whole year's games. You'd be far better off going to a site that has them listed. But are there any this year that you're aware of, Darren, that you're excited about?
Well, I'm looking forward to the Capcom season.
Yeah, other than those, because I think we talked about those last time.
Yes, I'm interested in Sin and Punishment 2 on the Wii.
A Wii game? A Wii game's getting attention.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Is that wrong?
No, it's good. Why are you looking forward to Sin and Punishment 2?
It's treasure, mainly. They just tickle me in a way that I can't imagine. Imagine the best orgasm you've ever had.
Okay.
And times it by 1,000, and that's treasure games.
Good God. God, my ears would melt.
Good God, man. Exactly, yeah, your eyes would pop out. They'd bug out for a second.
I saw this kind of list of the first... quarter Wii games. I was like, oh. And then I looked at the year, and it's not very good for an entire year, for there only to be three games I'm interested in. But they are three games I'm very interested in for the Wii this year.
And these are?
Well, Sin and Punishment, much like you.
Yes. Mad World?
Mad World, yeah. And I'm not that interested in Punch-Out, although obviously that's...
Hey, no, I am. I'm interested in Punch-Out. I think that's going to be good.
But there's also... Oh, two more, actually. Sorry. There's Fatal Frame 4 for the Wii.
That's going to be good, of course.
And something I don't know anything about, but looks really pretty on the platform, is Muramasa, the Demon Blade.
Yes, you showed me pictures of this. This looks fantastic. If you get a chance to check this one out online, I think you'll be won over immediately. It looks fantastic.
Yeah, which, I mean, that's what, five Wii games in note this year? Which, I mean, for a whole...
I think most importantly about those games as well is that they... Excluding the Punch-Out one, they touch on genres that the Wii hasn't quite investigated yet. You've got a horror game there. You've got a kind of strange fighty platformer.
You made a very interesting point there. It's also Punch-Out's the only one made by Nintendo.
Exactly, yeah. And
maybe finally third parties are going to put out some quality product other than Marvel Heroes for the Wii.
Exactly, yeah. And it's branching out into territory explored by PS3 and Xbox, especially the kind of horror adult game like Fatal Frame. I think that's very promising.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
It kind of tied me back to an interesting point. Everybody keeps complaining of the attach rate of Wii, the number of games owned by people who own the console, which is a lot lower than the other systems.
Yes.
And the kind of generally poor showing.
Like your girlfriend's mum.
Exactly.
She's got a Wii.
She does have a Wii, yeah.
They've got how many games?
They've got Wii Play and Wii Sports.
So that's none. They've got no games.
They've got no games. but the weird thing is with it is that people always say, well, every third-party game performs poorly. And while I'm sure they do, you've got to bear in mind the number of owners of a Wii who are quote-unquote gamers. You can't expect my girlfriend's mum to be buying Fatal Frame 4. I'm sorry, not going to happen. So I think you've got
to... I think she's going to insist on it.
You've got to take the numbers for any non-party game Wii game away from the numbers of Wii sold, which I know is really hard to do. But you've got to think about which of those Wii owners are going to be the high-level users, I suppose.
Well, I think, to be honest, that if you are a Wii owner and you're a gamer, you're going to own an Xbox or a PS3 anyway. So, but it's still a pretty much guaranteed installed base that people are going to have a Wii.
Yes, but then the people who are...
God knows they should make the games.
But the people who are going to be interested in Wii is going to be a lot... in, like, more complex games. It's going to be a lot smaller. So you can't rely on the number, the installed base numbers for sales. Any other games you're looking forward to, assuming you buy a PlayStation 3 or an Xbox?
I'm excited. I am still excited about GTA on DS. Will it happen? I don't know. Do you know?
I don't know. I think so.
Yeah.
I think.
Trying to think. That's not there. I'm excited. Well, yeah, I'm going to be a big nerd now, and I'm going to say that I'm excited about Wii Sports 2, because that's going to come out as well.
That's true. That's going to be something.
It's going to be really good.
Yeah, especially having somebody there who plays games with you. It's going to be particularly good for you.
Yeah, exactly. Although I've got so good at the tennis, no one will play me.
Oh dear, that's a problem.
Yeah, I've become that guy.
I don't know if that's a problem. I don't know how it's a problem. Well, okay, I've got a couple that I'm interested in. Not as many as you'd think, actually. It seems like everybody blew their load last year, and we're kind of operating at a possible reduced capacity this year.
Well, you know, the year happens in November. You know, the year begins and ends in November, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
I think we're at the very lull.
More things are announced before November, though. and this year, it's a bit light. I mean, there's Bioshock 2's coming. Should be interesting.
Yeah.
You've got Uncharted 2, Drake's Fortune. Maybe Heavy Rain. Maybe Alan Wake.
Heavy Rain, yes, this is the one that everyone's talking about.
Yeah, and Alan Wake, which everybody would be talking about if anybody released any information on it. So, yeah.
Duke Nukem,
yeah.
Could happen.
Basically, the point we're getting to is that this year, although there were a lot of big titles on the horizon this time last year, way on the horizon, end of the year kind of time, but this year it doesn't seem to be the same confirmed lineup, expected lineup.
Like things... It's just Street Fighter 4. Just buy that. Yeah. Stay in for the whole year. You know, shut up. What do you want?
Else will come out. Maybe.
Yeah.
But consider yourself lucky if it does.
Frankly. Yeah.
But yeah, this time last year you were looking at Fables.
Space Colon 2 on the iPhone.
Indeed. Perfect. Perfect. We can only hope that more of these things will come out. More good games will be confirmed for release this year, is what I'm going for. You've got, like, Final Fantasy 13, which, will it come out even in Japan this year? We don't know. Will Alan Wake come out? Will Heavy Rain come out? We don't really know.
It's all to play for, Alex, in 2009. Yeah. How are you feeling about the year? How's it going to be?
I'm hoping there's less games. I can't afford another year like this year, frankly. It killed me.
No.
just financially, on top of everything else.
Well, you are going in the way of, you know, we talked about Edge earlier on. You're going to get broader,
more
maybe physically broader, you know, and more highbrow.
Going to try to.
Yeah, well, exactly. So it's all to play for.
The fact that I'm slowly balding is going to help with the highbrow aspect, I think.
That brings us to the end of Doofus 1 for the year. So thank you for joining us.
Number 4 of the iTunes podcast, number 11 overall, yeah. Just to confuse matters.
Hope you've enjoyed it. I think this has been informative. Join us next week for... Yeah, I think maybe Darren's Old Games is a request thing. Email me at darren@doofus.net and I'll drag some stuff out. We can talk about some old games, some old genres, whatever you want. As long as it's old, I want it.
Bye. Say to that.
Yeah, so thank you for joining us. So we're going to be with you again in a fortnight?
Yes, in a fortnight. We're going to keep it on time. Going up on Monday? Is that the plan?
Monday? Going up on Monday.
Up on Mondays to start your week. On your way to work, you can be...
you can listen to us on the subway, the tube, the bus.
Maybe this is a bad idea. Maybe we're tying ourselves to people's most depressing time of the week. Maybe the kind of overarching feel of a Monday morning is going to taint
it. I think that's perfect. We're going to be like a ray of sunshine.
Okay, we'll go with the ray of sunshine aspect as opposed to...
Kissing your neck.
Whispering. Yeah.
Just touching your nipples. Just rewind me and play this bit again. Yes.
See you next time, Doofus.
Bye-bye.
See you.
Bye.
Thank you.